Hello and welcome. It's been a rough time for investments as the COVID-19 virus disrupts the economy. So what are the five things you need to know about investing right now? I'm Chubby Jerram Singh and I produce business and investment stories for Money Mind on CNA. Joining me, Kenneth Low, co-founder and CEO at financial platform Seedly, and Adam Wong, editor-in-chief of independent investment website The Fifth Person. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Hi.
Let's talk about the five things you really need to consider when you want to invest. First up, getting your financial goals in order. Let's start with you, Adam. Why is it important for investors to get their financial house in order before investing?
Investing is something that a lot of people think that they can get rich quick, or a lot of times when they think about the stock market, they think about how much money they can make, and they kind of forget there's risk that's involved as well. So you don't want to invest with money that you are going to need for your own expenses, for something that you need down the line for your family. So you really want to invest only with the funds that you can afford to set aside for investing. So that's why it's so important to have your financial house in order. You shouldn't be neck deep in debt, you know, with credit card debt and all that, trying to think that you can make the money in the stock market when you should be taking care of your own finances first before you start venturing out there and taking risks in the stock market.
Kenneth, is there sort of a guidepost on how much people should set aside to invest?
We normally have like a guideline of like having 6 months worth of emergency rainy day funds. As we see right now in the budget as well, on the government level, on a country level, we also have a lot of rainy day funds, right? Which is where we are able to tap on them when the time arises, which is like a crisis like what we're going through right now. So I think the guideline is generally 6 months worth of expenses. So you'll be able to tide through in the event that you go through a crisis on a personal level. And I would say in terms of the excess money to invest, it's really up to you how comfortable you are when it comes to the different risk appetite or products that you want to sort of invest in the market. Basically, the guideline is having 6 months of funds, and anything above that is based on your comfort level of how much you're willing to put into the market.
Now that we have our financial house in order and we're ready to buy our first investment product, let's move on to the second thing on our five things you need to know list. Why is it important to understand your financial goals?
Before you think about what you can buy, it's important to understand yourself and what your investment goals are, what, like Kenneth was saying, what your risk profile is, because there are very different kinds of stocks and products out there that may not be suitable for every single person. It's not one size fits all. So for example, if you're kind of like a person who's more risk averse, you want steady passive income, then a dividend stock will make more sense for you compared to a Netflix or, you know, a Facebook that's a lot more volatile. There's a lot more potential for growth, but it may not suit your needs. Okay, so that's the first thing you need to understand. And then after that, if you're going to start investing, you got to start thinking about what you're familiar with. I don't know much about oil and gas, for example. And if I go into an oil and gas industry, it's going to take me a lot of time to understand the dynamics of the industry and the companies in there. And if I'm going to make an investment, I'm kind of like going in blind. So you don't want to do that. You want to start with something that you're familiar with, maybe something that you buy on a daily basis, for example, like Starbucks. You know, it's something that you understand. You go to the cafe, you pick up coffee and all that. You know how they make money. So it's easier for you to understand how this business generates its revenue, whether or not they're going to be competitive down the line, because it's something that you're familiar with. And from there, you can start exploring what makes sense for you, for your own portfolio and for your own needs before you start investing.
Kenneth?
Yeah, so I think the only thing to add on to Adam's answer, I believe, is how much time you're willing to invest to learn how to invest. Yeah, because it's a lot about, if you're a 9-to-5 kind of employee working out there, you may reach home at the end of the day and you may want to watch your Korean drama or to play your Call of Duty Warzone or Fortnite or whatever it is, right? So I think at the end of the day, you need to understand that if you want to actually go down the route of picking out your own stock and, let's say, even buying into emerging markets and things like that, you must understand what you're going into, right? So I think that's point one. The second point is that if you are a more chillax kind of passive investor, then you may look for products that are a lot more diversified, easy to understand, and basically investing for the long term. So I think time is a very big thing that not many people consider, because they normally just jump in on whatever their friends are telling them. So I mean, one example here is a story with my own mother, right? So back then when she was working a 9-to-5 job as an engineer, her friends were telling her to buy Genting. And back in the day, right, everyone was like, oh, get into casinos and you can't go wrong with the integrated resort. But I mean, as of today, 2020, it's not in a very good place. So I think, you know, just going off by rumors and tips and tricks is not the way forward. You should really understand what you're investing in. If not, just take on a more chillax approach, longer term, and just ride out the market.
And I guess investors also need to know, for example, the differences in the type of stocks they buy, especially when you're buying or looking at US stocks. Let's take Facebook, for example. Shares reached an all-time high recently after they launched an online shopping feature. What are some of the considerations investors should take into account when buying US shares?
A lot of local investors, I find that they really like local companies as well. They're familiar with them. And there's some advantages to investing in Singapore stocks as well, because dividends are tax-free in Singapore. So before COVID-19, the REITs were really popular with investors because they paid a very steady stream of dividend income that was tax-free. But if you go to the US, there are a lot more growth opportunities, because as far as we know, the domestic market in the US is a lot bigger than what we have here. Even though our local companies can expand beyond the region, the best companies are still in the US at this point. So a company like Facebook can practically scale, not just in America, but around the world, because the nature of its business is just so scalable. And Facebook is something that I think all of us are very familiar with as well. So it's a business that people can start understanding as well. So you could invest in the US for dividends, there's going to be a 30% withholding tax. So that doesn't make sense for the Singapore investor to invest in dividends in the US. And then, of course, there's Forex risk to take into account, because you're changing your Sing dollars into US dollars as well. Even though the relationship between the two currencies is pretty stable, both currencies kind of hold a value in general. These are the things that you need to take into account if you're going to invest overseas.
We're talking about the five things you need to know about investing right now as you grapple with the impact of the coronavirus. My guests, Kenneth Low, co-founder and CEO at financial platform Seedly, and Adam Wong, editor-in-chief of independent investment website The Fifth Person. So we have talked about getting your financial house in order and understanding your investing goals. Third on the list, picking high-quality businesses. Adam, why is it important to pick high-quality businesses, and what exactly is a high-quality company?
The reason why we want to pick high-quality businesses, because these are businesses that down the line, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you know they're going to be around. And very likely they're going to be even more successful than they are today, because they've built a very strong business model that allows them to have a competitive advantage over their peers. And they have built an economic moat that sustains this advantage. So for example, like Amazon, it's such a huge company. They have wide distribution networks. They've built a system that allows you to send something that you buy on the website and send it to you within, I think, a day in the US, you know, Amazon Prime. It gets you within a day. So what other company can do that? So it's something that they've built over the years, over decades. And it's very hard for a new company or another big competitor to come in and steal that space.
And when you pick up these businesses or stocks, are there any risks investors should consider?
Yeah, definitely. So every company has risks, no matter how big and successful they are. So for example, Disney. Disney is a great company, right? We consume their content. We watch Marvel, Star Wars, and all the other Disney shows out there. Super popular. But the risk right now, I mean, Disney is being decimated right now because no one's visiting theme parks because of the pandemic. No one's going to the movie theaters because no one's going to the theaters right now. So a lot of the business is really, really affected. So no matter how successful or big a company is like Disney, there'll be risks that will affect them.
Before we move on to the last two things on our list, which are identifying stocks that are relatively unaffected by COVID-19 and diversification, Kenneth, can I get your thoughts on why it's so important to pick high-quality businesses?
I think one very unique thing about what we're going through now with like the current COVID situation, right, is that there wasn't like a precedence to this before. Because actually most of the companies that I would say I picked up 1 year, 2 years ago, I always reference the 07, 08, 09 crisis. And a lot of the times I just looked at it back then and said, okay, was this company still a strong company during that crisis period? With regards to tech companies, a lot of them were not actually even around during that 07, 08 crisis. For example, I believe some of the newer ones like Facebook and Google, right, were considered quite new companies. And if you actually look at it, this is actually the first major crisis a lot of them are also going through. So I think it's quite unique to actually see the different benchmarks, because the benchmarks keep changing as well in terms of what's the worst that they could go through. Just some food for thought, because I mean, example is CapitaLand Malls, right? With regards to malls, I looked at the 2007-2008 crisis and thought that, okay, you know what, they're still giving out dividends and everything was still quite stable. But I think if you look at the current situation now, delaying dividends, not specifically for them, but I believe a few other REITs as well. History is a good indicator, but it's not only the indicator moving forward. So you also have to have some sense of what the future will look like and then basically go with that hunch as well.
We're talking about the five things you need to know about investing during the COVID-19 virus. We talked about getting your financial house in order, understanding your investing goals, and picking high-quality businesses. The fourth thing you need to know now about investing is identifying stocks that are relatively unaffected by COVID-19. To help us figure how to go about doing this, we're talking to Kenneth Low, co-founder and CEO at financial platform Seedly, and Adam Wong, editor-in-chief of independent investment website The Fifth Person. Adam, this is a tricky one. How do we find stocks that are going to be winners in this crisis?
The pandemic has really thrown up a lot of opportunities and a lot of companies that are affected by the virus as well. So, I mean, if you had a choice right now between choosing a company that's being hit really hard by the virus, kind of like, you know, like Disney, versus a company whose business model isn't so affected, I would go with a company that has a business model that's not so affected by the virus. So for example, like credit cards are something that we use every day still. You know, whether it's online or offline, we're going to use a Visa, we're going to use a MasterCard, American Express, so on and so forth. So even though like overall economic activity is going to be lower, right, because of the crisis, everyone's going to be spending less in general, but we're still going to use our credit cards, we're still going to shop online, we're still going to have to buy stuff for all essentials and all that. So the business of MasterCard and Visa will still be around and they'll still be very robust, even though they might not be performing as well as pre-crisis.
I guess on the flip side, we should also consider stocks that will be affected by the virus or will be more affected by the virus. For example, REITs. We know that hospitality REITs and retail REITs have been suffering more than, let's say, your data center REITs or hospital REITs.
I think it's very true as well. We see a lot of those conversations appearing in our community. So people are talking about should they get out of positions that they went in, let's say 2 years ago or 3 years ago, on some of these REITs that you just mentioned, and to sort of rebalance to put them into other REITs that they think are longer term. But I think it's important to sort of understand like why they bought it in the first place and whether their investment thesis has changed. So let's say if they bought a hospitality REIT, does it mean that these companies will not be able to ride the new wave of the new normal? Because at the end of the day, people will still travel, right? But I think in what form or in what percentage of level that will return back to the normal, or is maybe in the long run, 3 to 4 years down, these companies that you invested in may be able to innovate their way out of this. So I think right now, people are not going to the theatres, they're not going to the theme parks. But I would say if you look at the landscape right now, I mean, it's sort of between Netflix and Disney when it comes to two huge entertainment brands, right? I think it's still a question mark on whether Disney will be the one behind, because ultimately the IP that they hold are still what many kids are sort of holding on to. So like Frozen, you have like the Marvel Avengers as well, and all those kind of IP that they hold. So I think that's also an important thing to consider, whether these companies are actually able to ride out this wave. Because it's important to also know what assets they hold and what their balance sheet looks like as well, not just the current stock price. So I think, again, going back to the main point is that the investment thesis, does it still hold in the long run?
Kenneth, I also wanted to ask you about how conversations are changing on your platform. What are you seeing that is different from before COVID started?
I think the big one is that many people are getting into investing. We saw an uplift of almost 2x in terms of eyeballs on all the brokerages and the investment cost section on our platform. But I think that the important thing is to know why are you starting to invest? Because there's a lot of word on the street around this is the best time, it's a once in a lifetime generational event that is happening right now to get into the markets. But I would say really think about why are you starting to invest now and whether you have enough money to invest. I think that's the biggest change that we are seeing happening, where suddenly everything is about, is this a good price to get in? There was a recent one about SIA, right? Like, is this a steal? Should I get into the airline industry by investing in SIA? Things like that. So a lot more discussions about stocks, investing in general, and a lot more on world news as well. Because right now there's a lot of things happening in all the markets like Hong Kong. and the US, of course, with regards to the US-China thing as well. Like, no one knows really whether it's going to blow up and how it's going to affect every one of our portfolios ultimately.
Adam, what about you? Are articles that the fifth person is pushing out, are they changing?
Like Kenneth was saying, there was a lot more interest from people who really wanted to start investing. We saw it in our own metrics as well. And I think that's a good thing because that shows that the people here are actually quite savvy in a sense that they're wanting to invest during a really bad time instead of the other way around where they're running for the hills, right? So I think that's a good thing. The people here are more financially literate. They want to go out there and invest during these times. Of course, making sure that their financial house is in order first before they actually put money in the stock market and all that. So we had a lot of interest in what kind of stocks to look out for, especially in March and April, because so many opportunities were thrown up. A lot of big successful companies had their prices just come down by like 30%. And it was like kind of like a once, I wouldn't say once in a lifetime, maybe once in a decade opportunity to like pick up these stocks at really, really good prices. And we were really busy then. So there were a lot of articles that we shared that were giving, we kind of like ran a series of COVID articles, like three articles, tell them instead what they should do if they want to invest during this period.
Taking Stock, we've been talking about the five things you need to know about investing in volatile times with Adam from The Fifth Person and Kenneth from Seedly. First, getting your financial house in order, understanding your investing goals, number three, picking high-quality businesses, and looking for stocks that are relatively unaffected by COVID-19. And the fifth and final consideration. Now, this is important because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Let's talk about diversification.
You never know, like COVID-19 was something that almost none of us could have predicted, except for maybe Bill Gates, because he's been warning us since 5 years ago, right? But it really happened. So a pandemic, so like Kenneth was saying, the last crisis was a financial crisis. This one is a health crisis. It's different. All right. So no one's going out on the streets. It's entirely different. So we have airlines and hospitality and tourism, entertainment just wiped out because no one's allowed to go out. Whereas in 2008, it was just the financial system seizing up and you couldn't get credit. And then there was a cascade effect to that. You're not going to be sure what's going to be the next crisis. And you want to make sure that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. So like, for example, Buffett, he used to say that airlines was a pretty bad industry to get in. But then in 2016, he started to buy airlines in the US airlines. And the reason for that is because they kind of like the US airline industry is within the domestic market. It's kind of like an oligarchy. So they're like just four major airlines. They kind of like dominate 90% of the air traffic. So that's the reason why he invested in that, because there's a very huge monopolistic position that these four companies have. But then he couldn't see COVID-19 coming in and then just decimating air traffic around the world. And he had to get rid of his holdings because he just felt, you know, this is the wrong decision. That's a credit to him because he made a decision, but then it turned out to be wrong. He just got rid of it. So you really want to diversify because no one gets 100% right, even Buffett himself. So you just want to put your eggs in a few baskets and watch those baskets very, very carefully so to make sure that you can sleep soundly at night.
So Kenneth, are your investments helping you sleep soundly at night?
I think the most important point here is about sleeping soundly at night, because ultimately health is wealth, and it's very easy for especially the millennials to feel very FOMO, right? So FOMO is the fear of missing out, and ultimately, you know, can you really sleep at night if you go 100% into pure stocks and all tech companies? I can't lah, because I'm in tech industry as well, and I honestly think that you know, there is a danger in that. Right. So really, if you are looking to sleep soundly at night, you should really just put your money into different parts of your portfolio and understand that if one goes down, the others will still sort of counter the effect. Right. So that's a very important point there.
And there it is. Five things you need to know about investing in volatile times. My guests, Kenneth Low, co-founder and CEO at financial platform Seedly, and Adam Wong, editor-in-chief of independent investment website The Fifth Person. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to The 5 Things You Need to Know About Investing by CNA's Money Mind team. Tell your friends about us on social media. Catch us again next time.